from the Civic Media Studios in Green Bay. This is Lean Local with Jim Schmidt, a weekly program focusing on local issues, prominent local candidates, political experts, and community leaders, helping to build better communities. This is Lean Local. And now, here's your host, former Green Bay Mayor Jim Schmidt.
All right. Well, welcome, everyone, to another episode of Lean Local. And just as a reminder, we're the show that does what they say. We truly lean local. And while we have an appreciation for what's going on in the world, and that's all important, and there's other activities going on, NFL draft, we need to talk about what's going on here locally and the good, but some of the things that are that we're struggling a little bit with. And I've had a number of guests in here, some politicians from the local community. I've had some people who have struggled in the community that are trying to get better, some people who are still struggling in the community. We've had some business leaders who've had some success in the community. And today I wanted to talk to a friend of mine who knows Green Bay. And I was reading, he was saying some things, and I thought, you know, Bob, I haven't seen you in a while. I'm going to call you. And I called him. I said, hey, look, you want to come on my radio show and give me a, mind if I call you like a common Joe, common Bob? Will that work?
That's fine with me. Okay.
So you're a common Bob. You, you spent a lot of time in the military, had a very successful career, helicopters, and then came back here to Green Bay, and you've traveled extensively. You've seen the world, and Green Bay last year was awarded the best place in the United States. Remember that U.S. News and World Report? They're like, this is, which everybody wants to be number one. And I was a little bit like, wow, that's interesting. And I think one of the big factors was our money goes pretty far. But they talked about some amenities and crime and some other things. But I just got to ask you, what do you think of that?
Well, I think Green Bay's always been a good place to raise a family, relatively safe, you know, comparing it to Milwaukee, Chicago.
Right.
A lot of people come here because of that and the ability to go to school. And it's just a good place to raise a family. There's a lot of water sports now that they've cleaned up the river in the bay. A lot of tourism passes through Green Bay on the way to Door County. Overall, I think it's a good place.
Yeah. And not only did you, kind of have a family here, but you were a broker, a business, or real estate or business broker?
A business broker.
Wow.
Mm-hmm.
So you got to sell the sizzle when you do that.
Well, the thing with businesses is there's a lot of small businesses that are getting to the point where they need to change hands because of the age of the owner.
Yeah.
A lot of times now the kids don't want to take over the business. So it's been a pretty good area to be in for a couple of the brokers in the area. And I've had an opportunity to work for two of them.
Yeah. And those are the two biggies. I mean, those are the guys that move the freight around this community.
I believe so, my
perspective. So, but not all is well. I mean, I want to get to the challenges, and I want to be, there's some things that you're seeing that you're not happy with. And I think is common Bob. I think I want to talk to you about that. And one of the things that you and I talked a little bit about was there's an increase in homelessness in Green Bay, and you've been here longer than I have. But it seems to tick up every year. And I just, you were referencing this article that was in, that was in April 16th. So it is, a few months, but you know, the headline is Brown County's homeless numbers startling, that they had increased so much. And like, why is that? If, why do you think it is? I mean, I have my perspective about you, but you're coming at from a common perspective. You're a good guy. You've lived here, you've worked here, and served our country for 20 years. And, I just want to know your thoughts.
Well, one of the reasons I think, it wasn't attractive before because of the weather. So a lot of people go to the warmer climates, especially in the wintertime. But I think homeless people have an opportunity to get stuff here. They can find shelter if they need it. They can find food. They can find resources that they don't necessarily have in other areas. And it's readily available, and there are people that will steer them to those folks that are helping them. So I think they've come here because it's an easy market to be homeless in.
You're not alone in that feeling, right? And I, that's called enabling, where you make then not necessarily the wrong thing, but you're not enabling the right thing, right?
And correct.
So with that, you had mentioned, which I really found interesting, a comment you made about the churches being more involved. And I'm all for people who aren't, the reason people are tax exempt is because they do things that the government can't do, right? Mm-hmm. And
right. And that's the way it's always been. I occasionally write things on Facebook that interest me. And people were talking, they're always talking about homelessness and what we can do. Well, I had written that the churches own a lot of property, tax-free. They're a nonprofit organization. They could build low-income housing on their property. They could charge less because they don't have the overhead that everybody else has. So if they truly wanted to help people find a place to live other than, you know, temporary, they could build low-income housing, some for singles, some for families, for those people that are trying to get all out of the homeless situation. Now, I think there's a couple different groups of homeless. There are people that I think are, the vast majority have made the choice to be homeless because they don't want the responsibility of not being homeless. Then there are people that are forced into it because of circumstances with their family. You know, a woman, as an example, has small kids and, you know, the husband's abusive or something. She might end up homeless out of no fault of her own. And then there's also veterans. But the veterans, there's a lot of veterans that are homeless because they've made that choice too. I think what happens when you're in the military, you have a family, you have a support network that you can use. And when you get out of the military, you don't know how to use the support system that's available in the civilian community. So they flounder, and some never really get traction to get a job and take advantage of some of the benefits that the military has offered them. So they end up homeless as well, and then it becomes a habit. It's easier to be homeless than to get off of it.
Do you really believe that people make that choice?
Absolutely.
It's not a good life.
Well, you have to look at it from a perspective of if you're not homeless, you have a lot of responsibility. You have to have a job. You have to have a place to live and maintain that. You have to go buy your own groceries. You have to buy your own clothes. Yeah. You have to have health insurance. You have to have all of those things if you're not homeless. When you're homeless, all you have to do is find where that stuff is free.
You know, I don't want to argue with you. As a matter of fact, I'm gonna underscore your what you just said. I stayed at a homeless shelter, just checked in, tell them where I was. And I was talking to this guy, and it was, you know, and I've got what you said. I've got bills. I got kids. I got to buy groceries. I got a mortgage. You know, I've got stress at work and everything else. And this guy was healthy, probably 35. He's a little young. He's younger than I was, and looked good. And I'm like, dude, what are you doing here? And he's like, because he's physically fit too. And he's like, I just dropped out. And there was like 5 seconds, probably longer than that, probably 15 seconds, where I was envious. I'm not kidding you. Like, not jealous, but I was like, that sounds like a good idea, but I've got stuff he doesn't have too. So I guess, but they're not going to get ahead, Bob. See, that's why I don't think that's by choice. Cause aren't we innately built to be successful?
No. I think we used to be. I think the culture now is you expect stuff from somebody else. And then once you get into that, now I've never been homeless, so I'm speaking strictly from the abstract here. I think once you get in the system and understand where the free stuff is, life becomes a lot simpler for you because you don't have those, you don't have those other things that you have to worry about. You typically don't have a family. You don't have a car payment and a car and a house payment. You don't have to mow a lawn. All you have to do is find a place to hang out and get your next meal and then a place to sleep.
Why are kids, when they're not kids, they're, some of them are a little older. I mean, there's kids too, right, that are 18, 19, but there's also people who are 40, 50. Why are they making that decision when the other side is, it's a little bit more work, but it's significantly more rewarding?
That's a good question. I can't answer that. I was raised in a family, or my dad sometimes had three jobs because none of them paid well. And I think people have higher expectations for themselves. They think they're worth more. So the only jobs that they look at aren't paying enough. So they're thinking, why should I work for 15 bucks an hour?
Yeah. Born on third base, something. Yeah. Okay. Hey, I don't want to argue with you, but I think we're kind of on the same page. I want to go back to, you saw the three people, you know, the choice, the force, the veterans. I will talk a little bit about more choice because I think you're right about that. And I have some things I want to share with you, but we have to figure out a way that that's not a good choice. You know, that it's like, you know, I want to stay away. I don't want to make that choice. The choice I want to make is to get a job, even though it's not, you know, 25 bucks an hour, but it's a better future than what I have now. So we're going to talk about that when we come back from the break.
Okay.
All right. We're here with Bob Stillman. This is, Common Bob. I like that. And I think you are. And I think you've been around, you've sold businesses, you know, the community, you've had a family, and you've got some concerns. And I want to talk about it here on Lean Local. So we'll be right back. Lean Local with Jim Schmidt. Jim Schmidt. This is a radio show that talks about what's going on locally. And as I said, we understand we're connected. We're all connected to the state and other communities. But here in Green Bay, they chose us to be the number one place to live in the United States a couple of years ago, and we're still in the top 20. And I thought, you know, that's really interesting. I want to know what the common person thinks about that. And a friend of mine who is should have ran for office. He's got opinions on things, and I think that's healthy when we speak up as adults and as kids that respectfully speak up. And one of the things Bob and I were talking about before the break was homelessness. And one can conclude that it's getting worse, and it's not anecdotal, right? The Brown County, it's the homeless members, startling. It's increasing. And we're trying to figure out why. And one of the things, Bob, that we talked about at break, and is that you don't want to enable, you don't want to make the wrong thing easy.
Absolutely. I think that we have made being homeless a lot easier than it was back in the day when I was growing up and you had hobos.
Yeah.
Hobos typically were traveling between towns looking for work. And in the process, they were living under bridges, and people were afraid of them. And they were just regular people. And now you have entire communities that are homeless people, and they have their own rules. And to live there, you have to abide by their rules. They're not the rules of the municipality where they reside. They have their own rules.
So you got this subculture within.
Yes, it's a subculture. And you become part of that community, and thereby you find out where all the free stuff is and when it is and where the best stuff is through that. Plus, there are governmental agencies that are paid to help them find all the free stuff. People are being paid by the government to tell them where to go to get free stuff. And you know, it sounds crass, but if you turn off the faucet, as you mentioned, then people have to go elsewhere to find it. So I think we've made it too easy to be homeless. That sounds bizarre, but I think in my humble opinion, that's what's happened.
The danger with that is if we turn off the faucet, you're betting they're going to be resourceful and find those things.
Elsewhere.
Shelter. Huh?
Elsewhere, yeah.
Yeah. And I think there's some people that think they're going to die.
Yeah, I'm sure there are.
But you don't.
I don't think so. I think they'll get their backpack and then they'll move to greener pastures.
That... I don't know that that's really been tried to shut off the faucet. I'm not kidding you, because we talked about, you know, Governor Newsom, who was mm-hmm. the mayor of San Francisco, got elected the same year I did, and I met him a number of times. They've spent a tremendous amount of money on homeless, and it's just not getting better.
It's a different philosophy. I think people are kind, and they want to help those that appear to be helpless. And there's, you know, the group of being homeless, that's a good group. If you want to devote time to help people, there's a ready supply of people that will take your help. So it makes people feel good when they're doing stuff to help them. But again, I think we're actually hurting them.
I wonder what the answer is to that, because I work with the homeless, but we hold them very accountable. It's not. I mean, you're in the U.S. Army. We're not that strict, but like, you got to be moving ahead. You got to meet with your case manager. You've got to do a chore. You know, I don't want to do a chore. Well, you got to do a chore. I mean, we do chores at home. We do chores here. You can't drink, and we're going to breathalyze you anytime we want. And you just got to be moving ahead. And it takes a while. But once they're like, man, I've been sober for 40 days. I've never been sober for 40 days. And, you know, and then they get jobs. And, you know, some people are like, you know, look, they're making $15 or $12, but we got a guy who's working at Procter & Gamble. I mean, he's, you know, and thank God he found the new community shelter, because he's not enabled. And he will tell you that too. But what you're saying is great. It's just, how do we get that transition? And to shut off the faucet, there's a little risk with that. But, and maybe it's the counselors, maybe it's the people working with them that they got to get a little tougher. I don't know what the answer is. I know what we're doing at New Community Works, but yeah.
I think people are naturally sympathetic
yeah.
towards them. These people have learned how to prey on you. They take advantage of people because that's how they survive on the street. And I believe, again, I've never been homeless, but I think that the people that get stuff for free know how to treat people who are giving them stuff for free.
They're salespeople.
They're salespeople. Yes.
Yeah.
And, you know, it sounds terrible to say, turn off the faucet, but there are people that can be taken out of that system with proper help. You know, another way to do it is to, help employers hire people who have had that sort of a background. Typically, they've also had alcohol, drugs,
yes.
and police matters that have interfered with their life. So if you find somebody that is that you can help and they want to get a job, maybe an employer getting a tax credit or something for hiring them and tracking that might be a solution as well.
We have work to do, and we talk about it on a national, but it's right here. And there's no denying it's right here in Green Bay. And I'm trying to do what I think is right. I think any W community shelter is on the right track. I think what we have when you talk about, you know, and the forced women who are forced out, there's the Golden House, and I think they do a good job. I think they hold people accountable. I think the Freedom House is strong. The veterans, that's sensitive. I mean, you tell a veteran to do more, they're like, look, I protected you.
Again, sometimes they use that as a, not an excuse, but a reason for not getting better.
Okay. I think we all need to get a little bit more educated on this. And I think there's some people that don't know how good it can be to not be homeless. And we got to stop enabling them and encourage them to get out of that. And
I agree 100%.
Conversations like this that get that started. Yeah, we had a guy in here that wanted the city to allow a tent city. I'm assuming you'd be opposed to that.
I would be opposed to that.
No, I'm just kidding. Thank you for coming in, Bob. I think citizens that speak up are healthy for the community, and not everybody's going to agree with us and everything we say, but it creates dialogue, and I think that's healthy. So, Bob Stillman, you're in here as Common Bob. I'm Jim Schmidt, Lean Local. Thank you for joining us. You're simply the best. Better than all the rest. Better than anyone I am. This city on rock and roll.
From the Civic Media Studios in Green Bay, this is Lean Local with Jim Schmidt, a weekly program focusing on local issues, prominent local candidates, political experts, and community leaders, helping to build better communities. This is Lean Local. And now, here's your host, former Green Bay Mayor, Jim Schmidt.
All right, welcome everyone to another episode of Lean Local. This is the show where we do what we say, and we lean local. We lean into the community and talk about issues, positive and some challenges that are facing us here in Greater Green Bay. We've got a lot going for us, right? We were the number one city a couple of years ago by U.S. News and World Report. We're in the top 20 this year. We got the draft coming. Things seem to be going well. And that's all positive, and it's good to focus on that. But we can't lose sight of some of the challenges we have. And here at Lean Local, we dig a little deeper into some of these issues that you may hear about on TV or reading the newspaper. But we try to just get to, not to the answer, but really to more of just more than just headlines, right? The other reason we call this show Lean Local is we're not a political show where we lean left or we lean right. We just lean local, and that's right into the city of Green Bay. So I've got an interesting guest. I've known you for a while. Right?
Yeah. I mean, yes, you have.
This is David Sapp. And I think people who are listening, if we were on TV, I think they'd recognize you, right? Oh, have you been around?
Yeah, I've been around. Okay. I think more of the homeless people would
okay,
know me.
All right. So this is what David Sapp is here. We've known each other for some time. And it pains me to say this, but you have been homeless for over 20 years.
Oh, yeah. I'm not proud of it, but it happens. I ain't doing it because I want to. I do it because I have to.
How long have you been homeless?
28 years.
28 years.
That's not, like, I've been in community shelter and St. John shelter, but all that time I've been there, it's probably less than 6 months. So it's really been on the street.
Where'd you sleep last night?
Well, I don't like to give up my position because.
Okay. I'm not asking you for exactly where you slept, but.
Outside.
Okay. Like, in the city?
Yeah, in the city.
And you have like a little tent?
No. No tent.
Didn't it rain?
Yes, it did. I got soaked.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay. 28 years, I can't get over that because I'm going to move on from that.
Okay.
But I do want to say you're kind of articulate and you're in good shape. And I'm just surprised you haven't found work and started to build a life.
I'm on disability, so I can't work. My lawyer and doctor signed me off forever. But I got some part-time things I'm looking into. It's pretty positive.
Okay. I like hearing that.
Yeah. The matter of fact, the man, he owns a little grocery store right down.
Oh, yeah. He's a good guy.
Yeah, he owns the depot. He wants me to do dishes for him.
So. All right. Sean's a good guy.
Yeah, he is a good guy.
And you start working there, that would be good.
Yes, it would.
That would make me happy. If that comes out of this show,
real happy.
My career is done. I think it's fulfilled, not done. I'm going to do this for a while. But
I want this career of homelessness to be over, though. I am so
28
tired.
Years, though.
I'm so tired of it. It's really, it wears you down. Oh, it wears you down to nothing. Running from the cops every night. Because they look for us homeless people instead of doing what they should be doing, like child molesters, drug dealers. But they have focused on us for the last 5 years. They gave us tickets for $187. Now I hear that the city has passed it. They want to give us $500 tickets. Where do they expect us to get this money from? See, they don't give us any respect whatsoever out there. None of us. All of us homeless people. We don't like the police. We don't like Mayor Gingrich. And, you know, and I'm tired of hearing everybody, you know, Dave, you got to talk. Because you know, they know you. I said every cop in town knows me. But that's the more point is, I don't know why the city has never opened up like a building for us for like a rainy nights or rainy days when it was storming or something that we could go to instead of us sitting in the rain. Or trying to find a hole in the wall or something.
And I feel bad when I phoned you. You told me that, and I. What about winters? Okay, let's just right now though. St. John's is closed.
Well, they have summer safe sleep there for certain people.
And you're not one of them?
No, I have income
because of the Social Security or whatever.
But.
Why did they close? I guess I asked them that. You have to answer that. But that's weird that, like, I think a hospital would never close, right? I mean, we at the new community shelter would never close. We're open 24 hours a day, 7 days a week.
Yeah.
And, you know, it just.
I'm not saying anything about the shelters because I've been in both of them more than my share. And they treat you decent. Now, I think why St. John's closed down like this is, I think it's lack of workforce. They don't have the people to run it like that. Where community, they have the workforce. And I, you know.
All right. You're getting over your skis on this one because I'm not sure that's it. But okay, let's talk more about if you were an advocate for the homeless, and let's just say you are. I mean, you're not like a voted or to be that. But
no.
But let's say you're speaking for the homeless. And 28 years is a lot of experience.
Oh, yeah. Yes, I have.
And you've gone through winters, you've gone through storms, like where do you like eat and where do you go to the bathroom? I mean, I can't get over this.
Now, me and you were talking about this one other day about downtown having more bathrooms. Because the only really bathrooms are downtown are like bars and stuff. And a lot of us that are, We're trying to not drink and
you're
do
recovering
drugs.
Alcoholics. A lot of you, or you're trying to.
We are trying. We try hard.
I would agree. You guys should not go into a bar.
Because that's just something that
it's a trigger.
Yeah, it's a trigger. So none of us, we don't use the downtown bathrooms when they have them down by like Parkinet. You know, they have them porta potties. We use them, and Now, you were talking about maybe building some downtown or something?
No, someone at our group talked about some public restrooms.
Now, if they do that, I would say I could get a work first to go clean these bathrooms. I could get the guys to do it. Because they don't all listen to me like, you know, I'm King Tut or something. But if I say, you know, we do this, maybe they'll stop giving us tickets and stuff like this. We're worried about these tickets. You know,
what do you get tickets for? Public urination or
sleeping outside?
Sleeping outside.
Since when is that against the law to sleep outside?
We can't be in a park after 10 o'clock.
Well, see, that rule's got to change because a lot of us sleep in the parks. And then we get these ridiculous fines. See, the people like you, maybe the people out there in the radio land don't understand how hard it is to survive in this town with the police. They don't give us no breaks. I wish they would just maybe like when we're get us all together and talk to us.
What would you say to them though? Let's say I could make that happen. If you could wave a magic wand and not say you'd build houses for everybody, I'm talking be realistic about it.
I would ask them to stop giving us tickets for sleeping outside.
But you're breaking the law. See, that's just it. Dave, you're breaking, and we can't look the other way. That's not that's against their oath.
See, that's you guys that don't understand. There is nowhere for us to go. You know, some of us can't get into St. John's, some of us can't get into community shelter. So then we're outside. And the city just don't understand what it takes to be homeless in this town. It's a terrible thing. And a lot of us, you know, we don't have friends that have apartments or something. We can go stay for a couple of days or something. So I would ask the city to forget them ordinance, man. If they were in there sleeping, let us sleep. We'll clean up the area we're in and, you know, let us be on our, we'll be on our way. I've asked the cops a couple of times. I said, why are you hating the homeless so bad? And one of the cops says, Dave, Mayor Gingrich says, either find them or arrest them.
Well, I don't know.
Why is that? Why would he do that for?
I don't know that he did said no. That. I want to defend the mayor's office because I spent a hell of a lot of time in it. Right?
I understand you.
People call. They complain. They complain and they complain. Why are they complaining about the homeless? You tell me that. Why are they complaining about you sleeping in the parks?
I don't know why they're doing that because we ain't hurting anything. You know, if you put it like a side of a like a park where we could set up some tents and just have like a little tent city.
No, what? Okay, I don't think so. I think we would like you to get some help, get some shelter, get a job, and contribute. That's what we would like you to be on a path, not stagnant, saying, look, you're homeless all day and you're going to sleep in this tent city at night. That's not Green Bay. It's not. They want to help you more than you think you do.
Well, maybe they should have meetings with all the homeless people. Like put like meetings like at St. John's or at community shelter. Or say, hey, meet at the park at this time and talk to us.
I like that.
And give us a chance to express all of our feelings. You know, my feelings ain't the same as some of the other people. But, you know, if the city would work with us a little better. And not, you know, treat us like crap. I'm just, you know, after all these years, I'm just fed up with it. I don't even want to do this anymore.
You don't do what?
I don't want to be homeless no more.
No?
No, it's more of a job than it is anything.
We'd like you to find a different job.
Yeah, I'd love to have another job.
You're fed up with being homeless because the city's not treating you right. Is that a fair statement?
That's a fair statement. See, you guys that I'm talking out here to, you don't understand because you've never been homeless. So you don't know what it's like to be out here. You know, all the stuff we have to do to be under the laws.
But Dave, what we do understand is a place like, there are places where you can get some help, right? New community.
I can't go back there to 2025.
Okay. We have rules and you broke the rules. So, and I don't know. I didn't look at your file. I don't know anything about you. I see you in there because you're welcome to come for the community meals.
And I go to see Larry on Tuesday nights.
All right. And Larry's our on-site alcohol and drug counselor. Yes. And you come and see him on Tuesday nights. Those are good steps. Those are the kind of things we'd like to encourage. But a tent city, do you understand why a tent city isn't, we don't have an appetite for that? Because it becomes a way of life, not a lifting of all.
Well, I'm just looking to try for the city to try to respect us a little bit more than just treating us like trash. We ain't trash. We're human beings.
Yes, absolutely.
And so when you force us to do things, sleep in areas that we ain't supposed to be in, it's not our fault. We have to look for a place where we're safe and kept dry. Keeping dry. Now, this is my biggest thing. I've been out here for 28 years, and every time it rains, I go underneath the Main Street Bridge. Yeah. They've never said anything and never kicked me out of there. This last time, they came down and said, you got to go. I said, why? Well, they said that the Okay. Okay. But you know what I was going to say.
I do, but you got a complaint from someone who lives down there, right?
No, it wasn't someone that lives down there. It was somebody that, is high up in that area.
Okay.
So I, you know, if she would come down and talk to us, because we don't make a mess. I clean up the mess down there all the time.
Do you understand that the police, I just want to say they get a complaint, they have to write a little report. If they go and I said to the guy, yeah, you shouldn't be here, break the law. They can't do that. I wish you got to show a little bit more respect for the police. They're trying, but we're going to talk about a first step without building a tenth city, okay?
Okay.
When we come back, we're going to talk about that. I appreciate you being here. I mean, no, this is not easy.
I appreciate you giving me the time because, you know, it's just that I'm probably the most well-known homeless person there is. Yeah. Because I've been out here longer than anybody ever has, I think.
Yeah.
But I'm speaking for all of us. You know, everybody is so fed up with this. Tickets.
All right.
You know, we need something.
Well, we got to talk about that. What we can do together. All right. We're going to be right back. We're here with Dave Sapp, who is a...
professional homeless man.
You said it. You're a homeless friend of mine. So, all right. Yeah. We're going to be right back. Jim Schmidt, Lean Local. And we are speaking with a friend of mine, Dave Sapp, and we've known each other for some time on and off. And you have been homeless for 28 years.
A long time.
A long time.
Too long. I'm not proud of it.
But that's a long time. I mean, that's, you're sitting next to my intern who he hasn't even been on the planet that long.
I've been out here longer than a lot of the homeless people have been born. Now that the homeless people now that... They're getting a lot younger, 15, 16, 17 years old.
That's off. Don't tell me. That's terrible.
I know it's terrible. I don't know what they're doing. I said, why do you guys do that when you can sleep at mom and dad's house? But that's not my point. My point is to talk to you and about all these people.
I want to find some common ground with you. Would you agree that part of the issues with homeless is alcohol?
I can't really say it's a big problem. Maybe sometimes it is, but you know, that sometimes it's a way of life out here.
That's a problem.
Well, it might be to me.
You went through counseling. That was a huge step for you. And you still go every Tuesday.
Every Tuesday night.
That's
and
awesome.
Fridays and Friday.
So you go Tuesday and Friday, you go to meetings.
And Larry.
And you're meeting with. A licensed alcohol and drug counselor.
Yep.
And how long have you been sober?
28 years. As long as I've been homeless. People go,
That doesn't make sense to me.
No, people think that's amazing how I, you know, get kicked out of shelters and I don't go drinking and, you know, getting all bombed out of shape. They said, that's more amazing than being homeless for 28 years than me being sober for 28 years. They said, that's a bigger thing.
Wow. I thought you were going to tell me that you sobered up like last year and now you're sick of being homeless, but you have been living this life on the streets for 28 years.
Sober. Drug free.
Okay. I don't know that is representative of the population. And be honest with me.
No, it ain't. No, it's not. It's, I brought this on myself back when I lived in Racine. I was a huge drug addict, an alcoholic. And when I moved up here, I got engaged to this lady. And she was, you know, I was killing myself because I don't do things in little spots. It's full blast, you know, to the wall.
I'm sensing that.
And so I decided, whenever 28 years was ago again, it's like usually January 1st is my day of another year starts. And I'm proud of myself for doing it. I wish, you know, a lot more people would, you know, try to take that path, but.
And that path is sobriety. Is that what we're talking about? Is that what you're talking about?
Yeah.
And January 1st, you kind of celebrate that.
Yeah, because that's when I quit, January 1st, back in 1997.
Do you realize how many people quit drinking on January 1st and they're drinking in the middle of the month?
New Year's Eve revolution.
But
I just did it, so I'm going to die.
Why didn't you go the next step? Why?
What's that?
I don't know. A job?
I've been on disability for over 30-some years.
Well, everybody, don't say that. Everybody, what you're telling me is everybody on disability is homeless, and that's not true.
No, it's not true.
Okay, so why didn't you take your disability and use that for part of your rent and get an apartment?
Well, now, like you go to some apartments, and they want $50, $60 for an application fee. I'm not paying to get an application fee to live. And I said, here's my, I show them my bank account. I said, I have,
you have a bank account?
Not right now, but my check goes right to the bank every month.
That's great.
And then I show them, here's what I have every month. I can afford your rent. But you've been homeless too long. You don't have any credit left to your head. Well, you don't give me a chance. How am I supposed to? See, a lot of us out here need some chances. Like, New Cap or something like that.
Okay. All right. Hey, look, I don't want you to get frustrated.
I'm getting frustrated. I'm just.
But Dave, if we have to start with something, and I think this discussion with, I don't want to call you a professional homeless guy, but you're an experienced homeless guy.
I'm not proud of it, but I am.
Okay. You sit down with the police and you're going to tell them, don't fine us. That's a non-starter because they have to enforce the rules. So is there
why
something?
Can't they give us a warning and say, hey, here's the warning.
We'll give you a warning. So you're gonna sleep outside tonight.
Yeah, I am.
And I actually think I know where you sleep. Anyway,
everybody does.
You're gonna sleep outside tonight, and I'm gonna go there and say, you know what, Dave? I could give you this ticket for $125, but you're a nice guy. Summer's starting. I feel good. I'm gonna give you a warning. We're gonna sleep tomorrow night. The same place. So
I might move my stuff to a different little area or something, but see, there is no places for us to go.
All right.
You know, when we could sleep in the parks, we were happy. We could leave our stuff there and not have to worry about the cops taking it. Cause the cops have stayed my stuff so much, so many times. Matter of fact, they took my backpack one time with all my mail that I even opened yet. Mm. So
where's your mail go?
St. John's, Mica Center.
Mm.
So,
okay.
We just need to get together.
Yeah, I think we got
to
talk a little bit more because I don't think that's going to work, a tent city. I just don't. Dave, you got to admit, the long term on those things is not good. There's crime that happens.
Are you talking about California tent
city? Yeah, I am a little bit. Okay. You know, I am.
Well, I think a lot of us, if you could get us all in a bunch and talk to us.
Something might come out of it. Let me interrupt you. Finish.
You know, I always tell the policemen when they talk to me, I said, you know what the city should have done? That WPS building over there behind Hampton Inn has been empty for 10 years. You could have made that into, I had 10 people said they'll help me clean it up. But they said, no, the homeless people don't make you any money. I said, I have to differ that because you gave all the tickets you gave us. We make you plenty of money.
Yeah.
But
all right, we have work to do.
Okay.
This is a big step though today, Dave.
That's fine. If you want to have me on again, that's fine. Or have another person with me that wants to talk too.
Yeah.
I could have another guy come in with me.
Yeah, I know you could. You know everybody.
I do. I don't, I'm saying I'm not well liked, but I'm saying I know everybody.
We got some work to do.
Okay.
All right. Just don't take your headphones off yet. I just don't want to, thank you for coming in.
Well, it's my pleasure.
Yeah.
We've been talking about this for a long time.
I know. So I'm glad you're here, and I wish you well. I hope you have a really good summer. And I'm going to keep tabs on you because I think you got what it takes.
I sort of have a plan when I get my next payday. Oh, t- to get my next check, I'm thinking about going to some of these apartments and just say, hey, here's some cash. I want an apartment now. I said, right. It's too long out here.
Okay. All right. I may go with you. All right. Thank you for joining us. Lean Local with Jim Schmidt. We had a great guest, Dave Sapp here, talking about living the life of homelessness. And this community's got work to do, but it all starts with talking to each other. And that's what we did today. So have a great week. We will see you next Sunday. Lean Local with Jim Schmidt.